Wicked Uncle and Grandma's Skip. Grandma was 85 years old. She still lived on her own quite independently, although she had stopped driving the car when she'd reached 80. In a moment of weakness, she had confessed to the doctor that she occasionally had dizzy spells when she could not remember what her name was or what country she lived in. He prescribed pills for mild epilepsy and ordered her to give up her driving. At first, she refused. But the doctor insisted, saying it wasn't safe for other motorists. Therefore, she had no choice but to surrender her license, which she deeply regretted.
"What difference does it make what country I'm in?"
she asked her family.
"I can still see where I'm going."
"But which side of the road were you driving on?"
asked Jeremy, her grandson.
His question was totally innocent, because he knew that people in France drive on the right side of the road, while in England, India and Australia, they drive on the left. But Grandma took the comment as mockery.
"The correct side, of course," she replied.
And then turning to her son, she said,
"Nigel, I blame you for your children's impertinence."
"Yes, Mum," said Nigel softly.
He was actually a very good son to his aged mother, and visited her regularly with her grandchildren. Grandma did not seem to realise that her son was a grown-up. While they were having tea, she asked him,
"Have you cleared out your room yet?"
"Yes, Mum," he replied. "I cleared it out 35 years ago when I was living here."
"Exactly," she snapped. 35 years is way too long to leave your junk lying around in your room. You and your brother should have emptied it out decades ago. I want everything gone by next Tuesday. Jenny and Edward are coming to stay. They're not going to Benidorm this year, so I invited them over here for a good rest. They will need somewhere to put their clothes."
Jenny was Jeff and Nigel's cousin. Though you might suppose that Grandma was a complete one-off, Jenny so resembled her and was even named after her that Uncle Jeff said that she must be a clone. She was married to Edward Johnson, a man of few words. Jeff and Nigel could not recall him ever finishing a sentence. After tea, Nigel went upstairs to look at the room that he had shared with Jeff many years ago. It was in the converted attic. A handful of their things were still there, like the now vintage train set, and the James Bond Aston Martin toy car with an ejector seat and a pop-up shield on the back window, and spikes that came out of the wheels.
"Ah, if we had only kept the box, it would be really valuable now," he thought with a sigh.
But most of the junk that was lying around had nothing to do with Nigel and Jeff. Over the years, all sorts of unwanted objects had been cast into their room. He counted 17 suitcases, enough old duvets to fit out a hotel, if they had not been full of dust mites, 9 electric fan heaters, 23 dusty and torn lampshades, 2 broken umbrellas, 4 chamber pots, 10 sleeping bags, 32 pairs of shoes, heaps of old clothes, and an old chest that was heavily carved. However, the chest was not junk. In fact, he recalled his dad saying that it was Elizabethan. He opened the lid and found something even more special: his late father's army uniforms and medals. Nigel and Jeff's dad had served in World War II. He had been particularly proud of his dress uniform that he had worn on parade when he was commissioned as an officer at the military academy called Sandhurst. Nigel took out the jacket and marvelled how small it was. His father had been very slight in build when he was a young man, although he was considered to be rather dashing, and photos showed him posing with various mystery young women in uniform. And then he opened up a little box and found his dad's prized Burma Star medal, one for fighting in the Far East with an outfit of crack jungle warfare soldiers called the Chindits. And here was the Chindits' blue insignia with a golden dragon. These were precious things, representing an important part of family history. Nigel folded his father's uniform lovingly and put it back in the chest. On the way downstairs, Grandma called out,
"Well, is the room empty yet?"
"Not yet," said Nigel. "There's an awful lot of stuff to throw out. Can't Jenny and Edward sleep in the spare room?"
"Impossible," said Grandma. "The curtains don't match the new bed covers."
"Well, in that case, I will come back later in the week," said Nigel.
"Huh,"
scorned Grandma.
"Fat chance."
But Nigel, being a good son, took Tuesday off work to clear out his old room. Up and down the stairs he went, ferrying stuff out to the car. Grandma insisted on inspecting every broken lampshade. He made several trips to the town dump before starting on the dusting and vacuuming. Eventually he came down and said,
"Righto, Mum, I'll be off now."
"Already? You always leave a job half done,"
she complained.
"Sorry, but I've got to run. Liz and I have planned an evening out to the theatre and supper together."
"Typical," said Grandma. "I suppose your sweetness and light put you up to this."
That was how she mockingly referred to Liz. When he had settled into the driver's seat of his car, Nigel hastily fumbled to turn off his phone before his aged mother could call him back. It was ringing as he pressed the off button. He sighed. At least he could look forward to the weekend when he was flying off with Liz and the kids for a holiday in Egypt. A week later, he had almost forgotten that he even had a phone, as he was blissfully caught up in his own world, soaking in the turquoise clear water. As he walked back over the warm sand to his deck chair, he heard the of a message. He picked up his phone. It was hard to read in the bright sunlight, but he made out,
"Nigel, it's Cousin Jenny. Your mother is just amazing. Do you know how fortunate you are? I don't think you appreciate Auntie Jennifer like I do."
It was from Cousin Jenny, who was now staying in his old room. A few seconds later, his phone went a second time. "Oh, for heaven's sake, leave me alone," he cried out loud.
"There is a leak in your kitchen ceiling from the bathroom. Your mother says it's your fault, because you chose the wrong shower."
Nigel was too annoyed to answer. Half an hour later, his phone pinged again.
"Mr. Kowalski, the plumber, came round and says it is definitely your fault, because the shower that you chose is the cause of the leak. He says it is a huge job, and now I have to call the insurance company. By the way, the house is full of junk, and just to let you know, I ordered a skip which has just arrived. Is there anything specific you'd like me to get rid of?"
Dad, spluttering with rage, read this last text out to the family. Jeremy suggested,
"Why don't you tell Auntie Jenny to throw herself into the skip?"
Went the phone again.
"Edward offered to mow the lawn, but all he could find were two broken mowers in the shed. He's chucked them in the skip along with some other things he found in the cupboard of your old room, including an old train set and some toy cars."
90% of Dad's holiday relaxation had vanished into the glorious African skyline.
How dare they?
He was totally exasperated.
Now, calm down, said Mum. They're probably doing you a favour, even if they are very annoying.
Mum was in a very good mood, and nothing was going to spoil it. Dad resolved to go for a swim, because nobody could feel stressed while dipping in the beautiful clear water of the Red Sea. But over the next few days, the messages became even more frequent. Jenny was now complaining about the insurance company. The leak in the kitchen was getting worse, and the plumber could not fix it because the pipes were 100 years old, made of lead, and not covered by the policy.
Now, why didn't you check the terms and conditions when you took the insurance out?
Jenny demanded to know.
We can't use the kitchen because the water is dripping onto the cooker.